The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier, Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the weekend, folks. It's me, Richard McCall, here for Columbia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network with Escape Artist. Yes, you've got another hour, well, a little bit less than an hour with me here, my dulcet tones, talking to you all about Columbia, and of course having a very special guest on the show as always. So this week's special guest is Naomi Dalton. Naomi is a Briton. She's here in Columbia for various reasons, but of course we'll be exploring that from the second segment of the show. We'll be talking to her about her website, How to Bogota, which, for those of you who don't know, if you're thinking of coming to Colombia, if you're thinking of coming or, you know, relocating to Bogota, it's probably the best page to look at, because I wouldn't go so far as to say it's like an idiot's guide to. It's far more personal, it's far more sort of, like, say, intense and informative, because there's emotion into it. It's not just a, you know, the text on a page designed to sell. It's a very interesting website, and even I, you know, after whatever, eight into my ninth year here now, find interesting things on there. If only this had existed in 2007 when I decided to relocate here. Anyway, so that's who we're having on the show later on. What's been going on? Well, you know, I don't know. Those of you who follow us on Facebook and so on, or follow me on Facebook, in fact, will notice that on Sunday I posted a picture of let's say, some loot brought over for me from the British Isles by a friend of mine. Now, very special, very special. Look at all that. If you've seen the photograph, there's three different types of cheddar cheese. We've got curry powder, curry sauce, digestive biscuits with which, to complement the cheddar cheese, proper Seville orange marmalade, bread sauce, powder, everything. Now, so if we're talking to expats and we're talking to people out there living overseas, living away from their home country, let's say, well, the country of their born, of their birth, because now Colombia is my home country. So, I mean, what is it that you miss when you are away, when you're away for a long period of time? I'd like to hear from you guys out there and say, you know, what do you miss? I mean, the other thing I particularly miss, Cumberland sausages. Don't know why, it's just one of those things. Obviously, everyone always says, oh, you're a Brit, you must miss Marmite. I do, but I've got a permanent stash of that, and we know that that lasts almost forever. So, you know, that black yeasty spread that we seem to love or hate anyway. So that's Marmite. I've got plenty of Marmite. And as you'll see from that photograph, I've got plenty of cheddar cheese and some other condiments with which to enrich my culinary lifestyle here in Bogota. Remind me a little bit of the country of my birth, of the United Kingdom, of London and everything like that. So, yes, it's got a great show coming up for you. Before we dip into that, just a little bit of topical news in case in case it's passed you by. We have been on a break from the peace dialogues with the FARC and the government's negotiating team. They are set to recommence on the 2nd of February now. So that's the next round will go between the 2nd and the 10th. And on the 10th of February, the historic commission, the conflict commission, the sort of truth commission, will hand over its document on what has gone on in the conflict. It's kind of like a truth commission report. That's going to be pretty groundbreaking stuff if it has been done correctly. We can only hope so, because without a truth commission, we cannot move forward. And there's been a great deal of conferences being held about this. There's been a great deal of discussion going on. So this Truth Commission and the report that will come out, this historical document that will come out, will enable Colombia to, you know, reflect on the past and perhaps, you know, look a bit more towards the future. Maybe we can help. This can help tether the lives of the countryside and the city, where the disconnect is so vast. And when we talk about this almost every week, but the countryside and the city are so different here. Whereas if you were like in the UK or so on, you're never a few hours from a city, and the development is very different. Unless of course you were talking about the Shetland Islands or the Orkneys or somewhere out into the Welsh valleys, you know, that's different, of course. But here in Colombia, given the geography, given the lack of communication, given the poor infrastructure, the countryside and the city are two very different entities. So anyway, that's a little bit for you to reflect on as we go into this break now. But we'll be coming right back with Naomi Dalton of the How To Bogota website. Highly recommended. You will enjoy this show, I know it, because Naomi is an informed and interesting young lady, and we're going to talk about everything and all facets of her life coming up now on Colombia Calling. Don't go away. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota. Yes, we're back in Bogota this week after a couple of weeks out there in Mompox for the Christmas and New Year season. We're back in Bogota, in the bustling city, although it's not as bustling as it could be because not everyone has come back from their holidays just yet. And like every week, we have a very special invited guest on the show, and this week's guest is Naomi Dalton, who's an English teacher, a translator, a linguist, a blogger, a bit of everything. She's from southeast London, near to Lewisham, and she moved over for a boy, which is unusual, and we're welcome on the show.
Thank you, Richard. Now it's actually becoming more and more usual, I think you'll find. I have a number of friends who've moved here for boys.
Okay, I stand corrected. Well, anyway, listen, thank you for being on the show, and thank you for agreeing to come here and talking about your experience. Just give us a little bit of a background. What happened? Why is it that you moved over here now? I believe you moved over to Bogota in October 2013.
That's right. Yeah.
Colombia wasn't a new country for you. You had been previously.
Yeah, I had a number of Colombian friends in London that I met through work, and I visited for the first time in 2011. I was lucky enough to visit Bogota and some of the coast, and I pretty much loved it at that point. And then between that time and when I moved to Colombia, I started a relationship with a Colombian, and he actually was studying a finance master's in London, and it became obvious that he wasn't going to be able to stay in the UK after he finished his master's, and so we made the decision that I'd come and move to Bogota. I mean, I'd been here before, so I sort of knew what I was getting myself into, but it wasn't too much of a shock, although it was a bit of a process getting used to it.
Well, it's a big step, you know. Mm. I mean, that's you clearly said this is the relationship. I'm coming to Bogota. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really. I mean, it was a choice and it wasn't, because there wasn't a chance for my boys. It's becoming harder and harder for non-EU citizens to get visas to stay in the UK. And unfortunately, my boyfriend wasn't able to get one to stay. So in a sense, I didn't really have a choice. It was either stay in the UK or continue my relationship and move to Colombia. So that was the position I found myself in.
And Bogota and Colombia is more, all the more richer for it. So you're here because you have been, you know, a remarkable help to many people thinking of coming over to Colombia, because you've written this blog. Now let me just plug the blog. It's howtobogota.com, exactly as you would imagine, www.howtobogota.com, and it's an incredibly complete blog about how to do pretty much everything. And you know, you sort of say, why doesn't the Colombian Ministry of Foreign Affairs write this blog helping foreigners who want to come over and set up a life out here, and the visa problems and whatever. Keeping aside the visa problems that, you know, your partner had in the UK, but for those of us over here in Colombia, you know, it's not an easy situation. situation. So, I mean, what happened? I guess you came over and just said, this would really help me, this blog, I guess.
Yeah, after I'd sort of finished my honeymoon phase, after I'd just moved to Bogotá, and I'd kind of found myself wanting to be able to do things more independently. I mean, my boyfriend was really helpful and supportive, but I wanted to be able to take the Transmilenio on my own. I wanted to be able to take the bus on my own. I wanted to be able to go shopping if I wanted to, or go to another part of the city. I wanted to know how to top up my phone and order a taxi and safely, and I just found that I really would have appreciated a kind of step-by-step how-to guide, how to navigate Bogotá. And so as I was learning how to do these things myself, I thought, well, I'm going to start this blog in the hope of helping others that maybe find themselves in the same situation that I was in. So it started off as being, a how-to guide, a handbook for expats or tourists. And then it kind of evolved, I suppose, through time, as I kind of was going through my own personal adaptation process to Bogotá, and I found I was it became kind of a commentary as well on life in Bogotá and on my personal experiences, as well as the kind of how to, giving tips and that sort of thing.
Because there's one thing, you can note about it is, of course, that there, you've got the cold, hard facts. They're on there. Let's say how to, almost in the form of the idiot's guide to. But you can also tell that you've put in the personal side to it, because it's very I think that makes it easier to digest, because it's not just as I said, the nuts and bolts of what you need to do, but you've got your experiences shared too, because that brings people in, doesn't it? I mean, that makes it an attractive blog to read, which not all blogs are that, not all of them are attractive to read.
I mean, I think it is nice to add the personal side. I think people, they do want a bit more than just a kind of a tour guide. Mm. I think, especially people who are thinking of coming to move and live here, they want that personal side. They want to understand how it is to live in Bogotá. What are the challenges? What are the best things about living in Bogotá, I find that Bogotá is not an easy city to love, and I don't feel that it's a city that throws its charm and beauty upon you when you get here. I think it's that there are many tourists will go straight to the Candelaria, the historical centre, and that certainly has, its charm, and you see that straight away, and beautiful, lovely museums and architecture. But if you're going to stay here beyond kind of a week, you start exploring other parts of Bogotá, and it's not that easy to... I mean, you need to have the will and invest the time in really uncovering the beauty of Bogotá, because it is a complicated city.
It's a complicated city.
And so I guess it was, it became a bit about my personal journey, kind of in search of that beauty and that charm, in a way.
And it does exist. It does exist. I wanted to sort of wind back a little bit, because you were saying, of course, your partner, Javier, was very supportive, and he was helping you with everything, but you wanted to do this for yourself. You're from the UK, you're from London, probably a pretty independent soul. In fact, I would hazard a guess you're very independent. You decided to come to Bogotá, leave it all behind in the UK to come over to Bogotá. But did you find that perhaps maybe, let's say your extended Colombian family and whatever were overly protective towards you as like a foreign lady here in Bogotá?
I wouldn't say they were overly protective, but my boyfriend's mum, let's call her my mother-in-law, she was certainly always very concerned whenever I was going to go out, or especially if I was going to go out without my boyfriend or alone, and she'd have this look of horror on her face. And but I mean, you know, she offered to come with me and accompany me to places, and you know, she was very supportive. But at the same time, you know, I didn't want to feel that you know, I needed to have my hand held, you know, as I kind of explored the city. So I did want to kind of discover my independence and feel comfortable and you know, be able to, you know, travel the city and navigate the city in the same way as I did in London.
Let's make the city your own.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's part of it. That's part of the adaptation, to really feel that you know the city and that you know how to get to from A to B and, you know, etc.
And so when you moved over straight away, let's say October 2013, you were living with the family?
Yeah, I was living with my boyfriend's mum and his sister, and they were very welcoming. Wow. and it was, you know, it wasn't uncomfortable at all. You know, she's not at all like a kind of overly protective Latin mother. Mm. Very, very kind. But obviously we wanted our own place.
Sure.
And so we fairly soon after I arrived, we started looking and exploring the options of places to live, and they were very supportive.
They were supportive of that. This is quite a progressive mother-in-law you have there.
Yeah, well, I think she already saw me as a daughter-in-law. You know, she already saw me as the mother of her future grandchildren. Ah. So, which she reminds me of fairly often. So,
well, can I ask how old you are?
I'm 30.
You're 30, so you're now, as they would say in Colombian Spanish, quedada.
Well, interestingly, we're being lazy. According to my boyfriend's family, we're being lazy for not having children.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, stop being lazy.
Stop being lazy. Well, the problem is that the focus will then soon be on him thinking that maybe something doesn't work. But let's not move into that. Because, you know, it'll be used a foreigner to begin with, and then it'll be him for not going into action. But never mind, we'll move on from that. This is too personal. Well, you're 30 years old, you decided to move here. I mean, I think it's phenomenal. I think it's a really, you know, it's so heartwarming to hear these sort of stories and so on. And that, you know, I can tell, you know, your whole aura is one of being happy. You are quite very much so positive in this, and that comes across in this chat that we're having now. And you've clearly thought about everything, you know, the life in Bogota and how things, you know, are progressing in your life. Now, I do a quick question. We've got about 4 minutes left of this section, but I wanted to just ask, you know, would you? I mean, you're happy. You're happy in Bogota. This is something that we'll explore, I think, more in the next section. But you're happy. Would you return to the UK if a visa was presented to Javier?
Firstly, to answer the first part, I'm happy with my boyfriend.
Yes.
My relationship with Bogota, I would say, is a work in progress. I'm definitely happier in Bogota than I was a year ago. I've definitely come a long way. I think if a visa were presented, a UK visa were presented to Javier tomorrow, I think it'd have to come hand in hand with the corresponding change in politics and attitudes. And you know, it's those kinds of things that I sort of resent about the UK at the moment. I don't think it's fair that British citizens are penalised because they happened to fall in love with with people who were not from the EU. So I think it would require a big change, a big turnaround in politics, which I don't see happening anytime soon. So as long as that's the case, I don't really want to move back to the UK.
Okay, so well, Colombia's got you for the time being.
It has, yes.
Now, as we wind down, if any of you out there are interested, and I know you get a lot of hits on your website, and people write to you, don't they? I mean, you get a lot of emails asking, I guess, from the most technical questions to the most sort of simple questions.
Yeah.
But do you respond to them all?
Yes, I do, yeah. I always respond to people that write to me. Yeah, I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate feedback, positive or otherwise, on the blog. Yeah.
On a final point, as we wind this down, I mean, if you have been writing something, let's say it's more negative in nature about life in Colombia or Bogota, have you found Colombians writing on there and sort of saying, you know, how dare you criticise this?
Yes, I have. I've had sort of comments along the lines of, well, if you don't like it, go back to your own country.
Yeah.
But I I actually took it in, and I thought, well, you know what, there are some kind of negative tones to some posts, and I do emphasise that this is my personal experience, you know, and everyone will take to Bogota in a different way, you know, and many of the things I value, people will feel are insignificant, and many of the things that I find challenging, other people won't find are issues at all, and it's merely my take on the city and my experience, and I mean, I know that there are people that feel the same as me, and I understand, you know, Bogota. I find Bogotanos are quite defensive of their city. You know, it's got a huge population to support. You know, it's really kind of struggling by the sheer numbers that are living in Bogota. You know, 8 million people. So I appreciate I do appreciate like people wanting to defend their city, but it really is just my personal experience, and I do personally, you know, try to see the positive things now. I found that yes, it was maybe getting a little bit negative, and I found that part of my adaptation process was to sort of look for the silver linings and uncover the charm and focus on the things that I liked, and in a way make peace with the city myself, I suppose.
Very good. That's nice to end this section on a nice way of ending the section, seeing the positive sides to the city. But of course, it is your blog. It's wholly subjective. But anyway, we will continue this conversation, and we'll be right back after a short break with Naomi Dalton, who's from Southeast London in the UK, and her blog, How to Bogota. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Please don't go away. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, here with Naomi Dalton of the HowToBogota.com. That's How to Bogota Guide, let's say, the blog. Anyway, listen, now, any of you out there interested in hearing from particular people, please get in touch, or any of my former interviewees. You know, you can get in touch through our website, so you can go to ColumbiaCallingRadio.com, and of course our direct email, ColumbiaCalling@gmail.com, and on Twitter at Columbia Calling. So if there's people you want to hear from, you want to get in touch with, or, you know, ideas or letters or feedback. We do get a fair amount of feedback of people who've previously lived in Colombia and have come back to visit and are using this podcast, this broadcast, let's say, as a way to convince their better halves that it's not so terrible here, for example. Anyway, but that's more or less what we're talking about today here with Naomi Dalton. We're here in Bogota. We're here in Chapinero, where both of us live, which is nice. You know, it's actually quite convenient getting together. But we're talking about this How to Bogota blog, and we were ending up the last section of the show talking about the sort of negativisms, or trying to see the positive side of life in the city. And of course, it's very important. And I'll talk to you, you know, quite personally. It took me 7 to 8 years to come to terms with lots of issues. Now I just try not to think about a lot of things and just try, you know, get on with my life. And I understand, because Bogota is not an easy city. I mean, I've said it before in the show, I've said it in this interview, and I'll say it again. It's not an easy city. It's not like going to Buenos Aires, where you and I could pass for porteños. It's not like going to Mendoza in Argentina. It's not like, even like going to Santiago in Chile. This is a different ambience. This is a different society here. We're always going to stand out. Well, I, you know, being 6'2" or whatever, certainly in Bogota, I'm always going to stand out. And, you know, just for not being, I don't look like a Bogotano, it's the truth of it. But so it's tough. So we're always going to be treated slightly differently. So this is why sometimes I take a little bit of offense. And I can understand that people becoming defensive about, you know, commentaries about their city. And perhaps they're defensive in that they've had so many negative commentaries about their cities. I don't know, but I find myself thinking, you know, I'm just saying it. I'm just saying it because it's there, and clearly because you're taking offence, I think they know it's there too. And I think part of this thing about Bogota, and you talked about this, these huge populations, 8 million in the city, and then 11 million when you think about the catchment area. It's a lot of people working in a small space, because the city, you know, where the, let's say, the industry is and where the business is, it's not a big part, and with an inefficient transport system, not very high wages for a costly city. You can imagine that. So there's always been this feeling that Bogota, what is it they say, the city of everyone and of no one. I think that's the quote, isn't it? So yeah. I don't know. I think we should develop on that. I think we should explore this issue a bit more, because I don't know. I think I was talking about this with the Bogota writers months ago, in the Bogota writers group, and we were saying, you know, if Paris says something, if Rome says something, what does Bogota say? And my feeling was, believe in me. That was what, you know, or work for me. But I don't know, if you were to say, what does Bogota say to you, what would you say?
Well, the one thing that I definitely can't complain about is saying that, you know, I've never felt unwelcome in Bogota. I never have. I've never been made to feel that because I was a foreigner, I was somehow different. Or, I mean, you know, sometimes they see you're a tourist, or they think that you're a tourist, and then some people take advantage. But generally, I've felt welcome here. I've settled in here, which is more than can be said of a lot of other countries, including the UK in some ways.
Yeah.
So I think it's, in a way, it welcomes people with open arms. But at the same time, you really need to be willing to invest in. It's like having a complicated relationship. There are a lot of compromises and adaptations to be made. And I mean, yeah, it's a difficult city, but you know that there's all kinds of people sharing it, and it does offer up a lot of opportunities, you know, in the form of business and jobs, and unfortunately many jobs pay very badly, so you know, it's but it's welcoming to everyone, you know. There is a reason why people in other troubled parts of the country, there's a reason why they come to Bogota.
Interesting. Now, very interesting. Dovetail. It's quite convenient as well, because it sort of peters on and leads us on back to your blog a bit, because I know you've got a section on sort of, like, I think it's got even a section called Relationship with Bogota. Is that right? It's a sidebar, Relationship with Bogota. So for those of you out there interested in reading more about Naomi's takes on the relationship with Bogota, not the relationship with her partner, the relationship with Bogota, you can click on that as howtobogota.com. But there's interesting, you were talking about, you know, the pay, and that's something I think we should bring up, because a lot of people listening to this show either are expats in Colombia, or people thinking of coming to Colombia, perhaps coming to an international school, or just coming to travel, you know. And of course, Colombia is a very attractive country to come to, and you know, on the surface, when you think of it, you know, we've got the beaches on the Pacific and the beaches on the Caribbean and the jungles. Almost anywhere within 45 minutes flight is something just more exotic than we'd find in the whole, you know, British Isles sort of thing. But
that's one thing I love about Colombia.
And so it is a very seductive country on that level. Yeah. But so we'd like to also inform people, and I know that the expat community here is growing. I mean, when I first started living here, you'd sort of stop other foreigners on the street to say hello, because you knew you were in a rarity, apart from the, you know, the backpackers down in the Candelaria or whatever, but actual people who are living here who weren't just embassy employees or teachers in local international schools. But, you know, I thought it was very interesting to read a section in how to make money in Bogota. I mean, you've got a section on that, and you've been incredibly detailed on it, from translating to teaching to, I can't remember what else you've got on there, but tell us a little bit more. Have you done all of those jobs?
Well, I work as an English teacher and a freelance translator. And I mean, I think a lot of people, when they're thinking about, when you're thinking of moving to a city, you're thinking, what is the cost of living, and B, can I afford that cost of living, you know, and how easy is it to get a job, and how easy is it to get a visa? So I thought that would be a useful kind of tip to put on a useful post, and I mean, many people, many English speakers come here, and the obvious thing to start doing is to teach English. And there are many English institutes, in inverted commas, springing up nowadays. There's a huge demand for English in Bogota as they try to promote this kind of policy of bilingualism. And so, you know, lots of new institutes are opening, and of varying quality, in my experience. I had a number of interviews for English teaching jobs last year. And, you know, as I am qualified, I understand the difference, you know, between different methodologies and the advantages and disadvantages. And, you know, some of them, you know, pay very, very reasonable. I mean, I'm earning a reasonable salary. You can earn up to, you know, maybe, I don't know if we want to speak in US dollars or what, but maybe $25 an hour is a very reasonable salary. Some people charge a lot more. But then there are other institutes that are paying maybe $7 an hour, $15 an hour, you know, and they kind of, I think, possibly take advantage of those kind of desperate expats that arrive and just need to earn money. But having said that, I mean, there is work, mm-hmm. you know, even if it's kind of badly paid work, there's something for you to do. There, if you're an English speaker, there'll be something for you to do when you get here. And then, you know, writing is an option, but obviously you need to be kind of well established for that. And a lot of expats are look for it, work in embassies as well, which is a sort of logical place to go to.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting about the teaching, and I can't imagine working for $7 an hour, so what, about 15,000 pesos for an hour class.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of money, and if you think, I don't know what an average rent on someone renting a room, that's probably around 400 or 500,000, so $250 a month, $260 a month, maybe with a couple of bills. And if you're in one of those situations where you're probably earning a little bit less as an English teacher, you're also probably at one of those companies that's making you travel all around the city.
Exactly, yeah, and that's the other thing that you need to consider when you get a job is a lot of these English institutes which have started up, they'll be sending you to clients in all parts of the city, all over the city. They don't have a kind of a school where you teach at normally, and just the issue of the problems of the traffic in Bogota is, I mean, that's the first thing you'll encounter, the first thing you'll notice when you get here. And it means that you could spend an hour and a half traveling to a class, and then to teach for 2 hours for 30,000 pesos or 50,000 pesos perhaps, and then another hour and a half back, and that's not including your planning time as well. It's a difficult life, and that's why I always say to new people, you know, before you commit to a contract on a rent or a room, think about where you're going to be working, think about how are you going to get from where you live to where you work, because it makes a huge difference to quality of life in Bogota, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And of course, if you're paying, I know they might sound like trivial amounts of money, but let's say up to around 2,000 pesos on the Transmilenio purse, or a dollar per journey, more or less, and you're only going up to earn, let's say, $15 or $8, it's a sizable chunk of change out of that hour's work, and then all of that transport time. So, you know, you need to work these out, but you work at the British Council, so you're established. You're okay with that, and you're doing translation. Yeah. So you make ends meet. You work with, because it's not, I mean, in terms of income and expenses, Bogota is, you know, there is a discrepancy there.
Yeah, I mean, I did think about this, and I thought, you know, before I moved to Bogota, I did think, what am I going to do? And I mean, I had taught English before in Mexico and in Argentina, so without having kind of a formal qualification. And then I thought, well, I'm going to do a CELTA qualification because that kind of opens a lot more doors in terms of kind of good working conditions and good working pay. And I did the CELTA at the British Council, and I did well on the CELTA, and so it ended up leading to a job, which I was I'm really, really happy with at the moment now. And then some other, I met other people. I mean, I do recommend networking when you come to Bogota and meeting new people, because by meeting new people, I then got some translation work as well, which I do as on top of the teaching, which I enjoy. It gives some variation.
I've been doing some translation work, but unfortunately mine is for companies with forklift trucks.
Oh.
So it's not so interesting. And I'm becoming quite an expert in, supply chain management. I'm actually starting to turn down the work because the truth is just not inspiring at all. So I used to do stuff for the Red Cross, which is always very interesting.
More
interesting. But it's fantastic. And you've got it completely as you want to, because you live in a good part of town, you know. And you can walk to work from where you live. So.
Oh, and I've got to say, walking to work has been the biggest factor in improving my personal quality of life in Bogota, because before I was I was travelling to work each way. It took an hour and a quarter on public transport, on the either on the Transmillennia or on the bus. And you know, I just found it exhausting and stressful. You know, it's really not like taking the tube in London. Really,
well,
not.
You never get a seat. I mean, in the tube you occasionally get a seat.
Yeah, but also it's very, very smooth. Usually it's a smooth journey. I mean, in the Transmillennia, you're grabbing on for dear life, just trying not to fall onto anyone.
You know? Well, I read a tweet this morning, so talking about sort of negativity and so on and so forth, but from a Colombian person who said, what's the problem with public transport in Bogota? And the answer was, there are two problems with public transport in Bogota. One, it's the public, and two, the transport. And I think there's a, you know, that it was said by a Colombian, it wasn't said by me, I'm just repeating it. But there's something about it, is, you know, the city is going through a transitional phase in its public transport, as we can tell. Unfortunately, it's been going through that phase for quite some time now, just because of local politics and so on and so forth, and a bit of inefficiency here and there. But the Colombians are bad in public transport. Yeah. And, you know, for the most educated and open and friendly people, put them behind the wheel of a car or into public transport and they become something out of, you know, in a circle of hell.
I don't think that the bus drivers help, you know,
because no, they don't.
You're in the Transmillennio station, and yes, ideally people would wait for people to get off the bus before they board, you know, London Tube style. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen because the bus drivers just don't hang around. You know, like they're already closing the door, like when people are trying to still get off the bus, you know, and so people, this creates a kind of panic where people are just kind of trying to push their way on in desperation. So I think it's also to do with the drivers as much as the passengers.
Okay, very good. There we go. You stood up for the Colombian people there. Very good. You're looking for the positive side of everything, and I like that. I think that's something to be applauded, because it's all too easy to fall into the trap of ranting. And you know what? You are someone who's making a life here, and you're clearly sharing your experiences with the world. HowToBogota.com is up there. Now, that, you know, leads me quite nicely on. We can talk a little bit more about your blog, but I mean, you've written about everything. You really have.
Well, I suppose as things happen to me,
you write about.
I suppose since I've started the blog, everything that happens to me and every experience and everything I see is a potential blog post. And so I kind of, if something happens, I think, well, actually, oh yeah, that maybe they'd find that maybe readers will find that interesting, you know. Or I spend the Sunday in Usaquén Market. Oh, I should write about that. You know, that's a really nice place to visit on a Sunday. And you know, so I suppose, yeah, it's. I try to convey the positive of the city, because it is a difficult city, and it's easy to rant on about the challenges, yeah.
Well, this has led for a friend of mine to create the blog EmbraceBogota.com. You know, I don't know if you know it. You've seen it. But yeah, of course. I mean, it's up there to write about the cultural events coming on, new restaurants that are opening up. So, you know, so we can actually participate and enjoy Bogota for what it is. So talking about almost everything that you've experienced in Bogota since October 2013, so a year and 3 months, you've been able to put up onto the blog, but you've written a blog as well, 13 safety tips. Have you had any problems here in Bogota?
Well, I mean, I've been quite lucky, I'd say. I've been pickpocketed, but that was my own fault, because I was in a rush. I was running for the Transmillennio bus, and I'd just gone through the ticket barrier, and I was just kind of shoving my wallet back in my bag, and I hadn't zipped up my bag properly, so the wallet was kind of peeking out, and then I was obviously trying to focus on hanging on the bus, and then I got off the bus and went to buy something and realised that I didn't have any money to buy it with. So I've been pickpocketed, but I always say, I mean, I honestly believe that most people that I've heard from who've had problems, it's usually been because maybe they weren't being as careful as they should have been, or maybe they were doing something that wouldn't be entirely recommended, such as wearing gold jewellery or having their phone out on the street. And I mean, it's a shame, you know. Of course you want to be able to wear what you want and use your phone as you want, but, you know, we're in a city which has unfortunately, severe problems with social inequality and you know, a lot of poverty. And I just think that, you know, you need to be aware, you need to be vigilant. I always say, don't do anything that you wouldn't do in your own country's capital city, you know, because all capital cities have these issues to one extent or another. So
it's true, but you've put a list of 13 safety tips. Just share with us a couple of them. I'm not going to ask you to read off the 13.
Okay, well, I mean, I'd say don't display expensive goods. We say in Colombian Spanish, don't dar papaya, which means don't display the expensive things that you have. Don't show the potential. Don't make yourself a potential target.
Yeah.
I would say try not to look too much like a tourist. The other day I was on the Transmilenio and I saw a group of three people and they were with their rucksacks and with the Air France tag still on their rucksacks and speaking fairly clearly in English, and I thought,
were they in flip-flops and shorts as well?
Yeah, well, I think they were wearing shorts, yeah. And I just thought, oh, you're making yourself a target. And so I think that's one thing. I'd say don't get in a taxi on the street, you know. Just don't take the risk. Book a taxi using an application or call, make a phone call. You know, it's much safer that way. Tell people where you're going. If you're going out, tell them when you're going and more or less when you think you'll be back. Be aware of the areas of the city that it's probably not a good idea to go to at night time, for example. I know the areas of London that I wouldn't go to at night time, so be aware as well of the same things in Bogota, and don't go anywhere that you don't know. Try not to end up somewhere and try to plan your journey ahead so that you know where you're going, you know how to get there, you're not stuck on the street with your iPhone out trying to get Google Maps to work, you know. I think those are, but it's, yeah. I mean, these things are fairly common sense, yeah. Really, it's not, you know, it's what I would do in any city that I didn't know.
But anyway, okay, so we've done a lot of don'ts. We've got 5 minutes left. In these last 5 minutes, what are the do's for Bogota? Do go here, do this. Share with us a good bit.
Do enjoy the ciclovia on a Sunday.
Of course.
When the roads close, some of the roads close to traffic and you're free to walk or cycle on the roads, enjoy that. You know, go up and visit the markets, the Usaquén market, you know, buy your souvenirs from there and support the local traders. You know, do a day tour of the Candelaria. It's full of beautiful museums and history and you'll love that. Try as many fruits as you can. Colombia is full of fruits. Just a couple of days ago I discovered a fruit that I'd never heard of, a mangosteen.
All right.
And delicious. Try the fruits. It's fantastic. Arrive in Bogota with an open mind. You know, it's not, as I said, it's not a city that's going to throw its charm upon you. You need to be willing to go out there and explore and find the things that you really love. You know, whether it's something that's, you know, nature based or you know, a day tour, or you know, if it's something to do with the history of the city, you know, you go out there and be willing to find it. I would say, you know, go be sociable, network. If you're coming to move here, go to, you know, find out about the social events. There are lots of events on for expats where you can meet lots of people who'll be in the same position as you, and everyone is very helpful and very supportive, and everyone understands what it's like to be a newcomer in Bogota, you know. But I do think the most important thing is to come here with a positive attitude. You know, I did find myself in the last year kind of slipping into negativity and just focusing on the challenges and the difficulties that I was experiencing. And I realised that I'm here, you know, my boyfriend's here, you know, I have to be here for the foreseeable future. And the only way forward really is to focus on the things that I do love, you know, about the city. You know, I love waking up and seeing the mountains in the morning. I love the beautiful skies and the clouds that we have in Bogota. Being at this particular altitude, you get you know, scenery that you just don't experience. I mean, that I never saw in London. You know, I love the parks, you know, the Simón Bolívar Park, the botanical gardens. I love the fact you can get on a bus outside of Bogota and you're in stunning, beautiful countryside. And I found in the end, the way forward is yes, I mean, you're going to have difficulties. It's going to be an adaptation process that could take a long time, but you really need to try to, you know, find the things that you love about Bogota, you know, invest that time and find the things that really charm you, and you can be happy.
You can make a life.
And I am happy here.
Fantastic. There you have it. Naomi Dalton telling you how it is. So thank you very much. Really nice to end up on such a positive note. And listen, to all of you out there who have been listening to this or have friends coming to Colombia or anything like of that nature, do check out the website. It's incredibly well built and set out, very easy to read. That's howtobogota.com. Naomi, let me take this moment to say thank you. Thank you for your time and sharing your personal experiences.
Thank you for having me, Richard.
You're very welcome. Listen, I hope the listeners out there have enjoyed the show. It's been informative. It's been interesting. It's always nice to get new voices, new faces. This is the first time that Naomi and I have actually even met. So it's nice to, you know, have a chat on this level and to hear someone else, you know, really talking in a positive fashion about Bogota and about Colombia, because if you're talking well of Bogota, you're talking well of Colombia.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we're going to wind down the show, and just remember, this is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. You can get in touch through our website, that's ColombiaCallingRadio.com, and through Gmail, it's ColombiaCalling@gmail.com. Send us your comments, send us what you think, tell us, share your thoughts. And, of course, recommend people that you might want to hear from in the future. We always love the feedback. And once again, that's Naomi Dalton we've been talking to today. Her website is howtobogota.com. I've been Richard McCall. This has been Colombia Calling. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Tune in next week.